In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From the beginning of time, humans have been fascinated by the night sky. Comets and conjunctions of planets and the patterns of stars. Every culture has stories to explain the formations that they see in the stars and the planets. And even though our understanding of what we see in the sky is better informed than people of the past, that interest in the heavenly host still remains with us. Just think of the interest shown in the recent conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn in the week before Christmas. Long before telescopes and computers, people named the stars and charted their long journeys through the heavens. These early stargazers noticed patterns and consistency in their movements. Perhaps we can imagine they felt that the stars were part of a greater story, and that the stars had the power to influence events on Earth. Some people still believe that. Early books of the Bible testify to the power of stars in the life of ancient people. Job mentions three constellations, the Bear, Pleiades, and Orion. Childless Abram goes out into the night, and he has a promise from God that he will have many children, children as numerous as the stars. Stars are said to sing together and shout for joy in the book of Job. And Psalm 147 tells us that God names all the stars and determines their number. Clearly, stars held meaning for the ancient people of God. So it's not entirely unexpected that in our gospel reading, we see wise men coming from the east following a star. Although it's not clear to the modern reader how they knew this rising star announced the birth of the King of the Jews, the connection between the rising of the star and the birth of a king is shrouded in mystery. What is more strange, perhaps, is how everyone in the story, especially Herod, rolls with it, accepting the wise man's account of the star and of the birth of a king. In fact, King Herod takes the wise men's astronomical report so seriously that he drops everything to search for and eliminate the baby. There are dozens of theories on where the wise men originated and how they knew so much about the stars. The Greek word used in Matthew's gospel is magi, a group of learned scholars who advised kings by interpreting dreams and astrology. Much about the wise men is unclear. We don't know who exactly they were, or even that there were three of them. Matthew says only that they came, and we infer three, because there were three gifts, but there may have been many more than three. We're on firmer ground in inferring that because they're called magi and they were indeed wise men, perhaps priests or astrologers. But the inference that they were kings probably grows out of the magnificence of the gifts that they brought. What is certainly clear is that these men are not Judeans, but Gentiles. They come bearing witness to a cosmic event of astronomical proportions, the birth of a baby, though no one seems to know exactly where he is. We can imagine their shock when they discover that Herod is clueless about where this baby is located. Surely King Herod would know if a king was born in his kingdom. It's in this detail that we can see how foreign these wise men are. They're seemingly naive, unaware of the dangerous politics of Judea, and unaware of how different the new king will be from all other kings. They're simply seeking the king whom the stars announced. They follow the star until it stops over the place where Jesus was. It's so simple. While it may seem mysterious and strange to us to follow a star this way, It wasn't strange for them. It was simply how they understood the world. It's simply how they found Jesus. And we too must be open to the many ways that people do find him, especially the ways of people who are different from us. How do they find Jesus? It might be quite different than, well, it is quite different than how we experience him or find him. Today we're celebrating Epiphany, the last of the 12 days of Christmas and the beginning of a new season in the church year. The word Epiphany means a showing forth. It's a word which removes Christmas from the privacy of the stable in Bethlehem and puts it at the crossroads of the paths of history. For it is the visit of the Magi, the wise men, which first brings Jesus to public view. It's their visit that gives us the first intimation of the destiny of Jesus. Up until then, his coming had attracted little notice. Neither the king nor the priests knew anything. The angels had informed the shepherds, but what role do shepherds have in human history? And Joseph and Mary must have journeyed to the temple in Jerusalem before the Magi came. Otherwise, they would have made a richer thanksgiving than two turtle doves and for the birth of a child. But let's dig a bit deeper into the gospel account, because the lessons to be learned from the Magi are all about wisdom. The first thing we discover in the story is that the wise men sought for truth and wisdom. The Magi knew that the star they followed was no ordinary star. We can assume that as long-term observers of the heavens, they'd been searching for years for signs of something unique and significant occurring in their world. They were open to new wisdom and truth. And more than this, they searched for it. They were not simply content to get along with what they already knew. So when they saw a new star in the heavens, they sensed in their hearts that it was a sign from God. The scripture tells us over and over again, if we seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be open to us. If we ask, we will receive. But how often do we actually seek for wisdom, for new truth, for guidance? Think of assembling all those new toys and tools that appeared under the tree this Christmas. How many people actually looked at the directions before beginning to assemble them? Many tried to put something together, relying on the knowledge that they already had, only to find that it wasn't good enough. The wise men gained their wisdom because they were seekers. They were looking for new things, new insights, new signs. They read their manuals. They searched the heavens for signs and wonders. And we too are called to search for wisdom and new insights, to grow in knowledge of God and how God is working in our world. Secondly, the wise men set forth in faith to find what the star pointed to. Faith, by definition, involves the idea of making a journey, of venturing forth, of risking one's very self in a new activity. The living God cannot be found by proxy. That was Herod's mistake. He wanted the Magi to go in his place and search for the Christ child. Only then, he said, he would come and worship the newborn king. Perhaps, bearing in mind his real intentions, it's just as well that Herod didn't immediately take up the search. In contrast to Herod, the Magi had to travel from a foreign land in search of wisdom and truth. They didn't know where the star would lead them, or how long it would take, or what the end result would be for them. They only knew that it was important for them to follow that star to wherever it led. It was a personal quest, and the result was an opportunity to worship the one who would be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This may be the most important truth for us in the Epiphany story. A story of faith with Jesus has to be a personal story, a personal quest. It's not enough to know all the facts about Jesus Christ. One must encounter the wonder of God's transforming love and make a personal decision to pass on that love. One must decide to follow as a disciple and then do so. No one else can do it for us. Faith is not inherited like the family jewels, nor can it come from simply knowing what others have said about it. Faith is like the difference between having read how to make a cake and actually making one. One can know all there is about cooking. One may have memorized the recipe for the cake that he or she wants to make, but until one actually gets out the ingredients and mixes them together and puts the results in the oven, it means absolutely nothing. The third consideration is that the wise men sought help from other people as they tried to find the king. So often we try to live our lives without making any demands on anyone else. We want to be independent and to stand alone and to make it ourselves. Sometimes this comes out of noble motives. We don't want to burden others. Other times it comes out of fear. We're afraid of looking weak or foolish. When the wise men arrived in Jerusalem, it seems that they had lost sight of the star. They knew they were in the right area, but they were not yet in the right spot. Kind of like us sometimes when we go driving in a new city to find a friend. We get into the right neighborhood, but somehow we can't locate the street we're looking for. Our map might be outdated or in error, but whatever the reason may be, we're stuck and remain stuck until we ask someone else for help. That's what the Magi did. The Bible says they consulted with the people in Jerusalem. They asked where the newborn was and how they could find him so that they could pay him homage. And because they asked, they received. Their questions were answered by people who were familiar with the scriptures and the prophecies concerning the birth of the Messiah. And they took that answer and set forth with it. And when they did so, once again they saw the star going ahead of them until it took them to the baby Jesus. There are many people who can help us in our journey of faith if we're wise enough to ask them. The question is, are we willing to ask for help when we need it? When we're in the right neighborhood but we can't quite find our way to our destination, will we stop and ask for directions, as the Magi did? Finally, the wise men accepted what God led them to and believed in it. In the story of the wise men, often much is made of what they gave to the Christ child. But consider for a minute what they were given. They had set forth looking for a king, the King of Kings, in fact. And after a long, hard journey, they ended up in a simple home in Bethlehem, and there they found a carpenter and his wife and child. There were no costly treasures in the house, no purple robes, no gold rings, nothing, in fact, to show that they were in the presence of a person destined to be a great king. Only the stars stood overhead to indicate that anything special was going on. And they accepted this, although all the outward signs, save one, were telling them that they were in the wrong place. They accepted that simple sign, the sign of God that they had been following for so long, and they ignored the rest. So many of us have a hard time accepting what God has given in the form that he gives it. Because we're waiting for a gift from God, we look for great miracles and instant healings and signs and wonders and trumpets and 21-gun salutes. We may pray to God for a special blessing and then ignore, or more likely, treat with suspicion, someone who comes asking for food or a bus fare or some other form of help. Or we may even get annoyed when a neighbor drops by unannounced just as we're preparing to go out and do the shopping. Louis Cassel tells a story about a man who hated Christmas. It was late Christmas Eve, but in spite of his wife's pleas, he would not accompany her to church. The whole crazy idea of God becoming a human being made no sense to his logical mind. He stood watching the heavy snow at his lounge room window. This is not an Australian story, but the meaning nonetheless will be clear to you. As he stood looking out of the window, the man thought of the birds and wondered how they would find the seeds he'd put out for them. It was snowing so hard that the seed tray he'd filled was already covered. He turned on the outside lights, but both the birds and the seed were lost in the falling snow. So putting on his heavy coat, he went outside and opened the big door of his barn. Then he spread seed just inside the barn, hoping the birds would see it. They did not. Still hoping to help these starving creatures, the man tried desperately to shoo the birds towards the light of his open barn, but they were too frightened. There they were, only inches away from food and water, the food and water that they needed, and he was helpless. If only I were a bird, he thought to himself, I'd show them the way to that life-giving food. Just then, the church bells began to ring, announcing that Christmas morning had begun. Suddenly, he understood why God's Son came to show us the way to eternal life in the way that he did, as one of us. And from that point, he became a believer. The point is, we can have this fixed idea in our minds that God does not or should not appear to us in the ordinary aspects of our life. We don't expect God to show up while we're at work or doing the dishes or any of those other menial things that are every day for us. We often have a hard time too considering that God's answers to our questions could be found in a 2,000-year-old book or on the lips of our colleagues or friends, or that a dream we've had during a long, troubled night is in fact a message from God. The wisdom of the wise men was and is simply this. They sought wisdom. They were willing to journey in faith, to personally discover what God was doing. And they did not hesitate to ask for help along the way. And finally, they accepted what they found, even though it was plainly dressed, and believed in it. Simple stuff, really. But wisdom really is usually simple stuff. Simple, but when used as the wise men used it, it leads us to God. May God bless us all in this kind of wisdom. Amen.